this morning, and he got me. You know, I was one of those that said here instead of seat. I got to go back and read that again, don't I? Good message this morning. I appreciate so much what we've heard already. Much of what's on my mind is along the same lines, but I'm going to come at it from a different angle. I'd like for you to turn to the book of Titus. Book of Titus, chapter 2. Certainly, I give a hearty amen to what we've heard in a way of praise. You know, I had a thought while you're turning to Titus chapter 2. You know, the Lord didn't create just four or five angels. He created a host of angels. Did I tell you something? What do? Praise. The Lord's worthy of much praise. Now, he's worthy of more praise than we'll ever give him. But that's why he's given us eternity to praise him, right? Okay. Hope you found Titus chapter 2 by now. I want to begin reading in verse 11. I'm going to go ahead and read the rest of the chapter to introduce our thoughts this morning. Titus chapter 2. Beginning in verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. That's the message that needs to be preached. Denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's what praises God. You know, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, right? So when we live according to his teachings, then that gives praise and glory to his name. So, these are the things, and so much more in this book, but as the Lord, through the Spirit, impressed Paul to write this epistle to Titus, we find that he said, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation. I want to consider for just a moment two ways that we can look at that. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation. Now, as I've already read to you and what I've already said, you understand this is a very practical text. This is exhorting us to godly living. So, if we're speaking of salvation in terms of being exhorted to godly living, then you understand that salvation that he's talking about is not so that you can earn a home in heaven. It's the salvation that we need on a daily basis. It's that good influence of the Word of God, of being reminded of the goodness and mercy of God, being reminded of the grace of God, being reminded of all the goodness that He is and all that He does for us each day. I tell you, that encourages me, doesn't it you? To be reminded of those things? Yeah. And it saves me, all right? Again, not for heaven, but like the Apostle Peter said on the day of Pentecost, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Don't be a part of that. Don't get sucked into that. Don't take up with that. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. And what a blessing it is to be encouraged by the Word of God, to be encouraged by gathering together in worship and praising God and being lifted up in the Spirit as we praise Him together and as we hear from His Word, so that we can be strengthened and better equipped to leave those, walk through those doors and leaving and facing this world for another week or until the time that we come back together. God knew that we needed one another. We need the gospel. We need the Word of God. We need one another. We need the leadership of the Spirit. And there's ways that we can cultivate that more. And praise is a wonderful way of staying in the Spirit, isn't it? To go about your day with a song in your heart and a song upon your lips. I tell you, that's a good way to save yourself from this untoward generation. So the first way I want to notice this, the grace of God that bringeth salvation, grace brought salvation. In the eternal sense, in the sense of being saved eternally from our sins, grace brought salvation, didn't it? All right? Ephesians 2 and 1, when he says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Well, if you were dead in trespasses and sins, there's no way you had any spiritual life about you to respond to anything of the Spirit. You were dead in trespasses and sins. You were separated from that. You had no ability to do anything spiritually because you didn't have spiritual life. Life precedes action, right? Or as I've said a number of times, or quoted Elder Jeff Winfrey, you know, the dead don't do. they can't do anything spiritually. And that's clearly taught to us in the Scriptures. All right? For when he speaks about, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." You didn't invite the Lord into your heart. You didn't go out looking for God. As Brother Thomas said, He works in us. He gives us the want to. He works in us, Philippians chapter 2. He worketh in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. All right? So grace brought salvation. When the Father sent His Son into this world, and all that the Son came to do, and all that He accomplished, grace was brought to us. Salvation, eternal salvation, was purchased for us by the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, a passage that I quote frequently, John chapter 6, when Jesus said in verse 39, "And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all thou hast given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day." I love that verse. You know I do. I quote it a lot, but it's because it's so comprehensive of what God has done for us by His grace. He sent His Son into this world to save us from our sins. And what Jesus accomplished in doing the Father's will, we are eternally secure in Him. He brought, grace brought salvation. Okay? You can keep going through John. This is the short list of the ways that John presents this, but in John chapter 10, he talks about, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, they follow me. And I give," not offer, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." You see how plain that is? God, by His grace, brought salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. You keep going in John chapter 17. John 17, let me turn to that. I may not quote it exactly right here. John 17, when he says, verse 2, "As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." That tells you right there, everybody that's ever going to be saved eternally by the grace of God. those that were given to him to save. They're secure in the blood of Jesus Christ. Of course, John 19, verse 30, Jesus said on the cross, "It's finished." What's finished? What the Father sent him to do. Bless your hearts, he finished the work. He did what he needed to do. He said that back in John 17, "I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do." He went to the cross. He shed his precious blood. Now we realize that he also would go to the tomb, and after 3 days and three nights, he would rise again. But bless your hearts, no man taketh his life from him, right? John chapter 10, "No man taketh my life from me. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again." He came to do the Father's will. Grace brought salvation. Of course, Hebrews 9:12 tells us that by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He did that. All right. Of course, Romans 8 ends with him saying that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Grace brought salvation. Okay? Now, I said all of that to ask you this. Are all those passages true? Did God really do that? Did Jesus finish the work? How much of that did you do? Grace brought salvation to us. That's something to praise him for. That's something to give praise and honor and glory to his matchless name as long as we live and in all eternity. To praise God for the grace that was brought to us. But you know, and Brother Thomas also touched on this. You know, so let me say it this way before I get to that. So does that mean, because he has saved us from our sins, does that mean that we're going to praise him 24/7? We should. Does that mean we're always going to be doing godly things and having godly thoughts? And we should. But let's be honest. Do you? Do you ever come short? Do you ever have a sinful thought? Yes. And I can answer that for you. I can answer that for you because if you've got the Spirit of God in you, then you can share with the experience of the Apostle Paul. When he said in Romans chapter 7, "When I would do good, evil is present with me." That old nature. We wish that it was eradicated when we were born again of the Spirit, but it's not. It's still there with us. And as Paul said in Galatians 5, Galatians 5:17, "And this is the experience of a child of God who has eternal life." But we still got the old nature to deal with. All right? So he says in Galatians 5:17, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." Now, that's not saying that you can't do good things. But it's kind of like Paul said it over in Romans 7, what I just mentioned a moment ago. "The good that I would, I do not. And that which I would not, that I do." In other words, just like we just read from Galatians 5:17, we got this old flesh to contend with, and it rears its ugly head sometimes. And if we're not careful, we won't chase away those bad thoughts as soon as we should. You know, we're exposed to ungodliness all the time. Whether it comes to mind, or whether it's something you're listening to, or whether it's somebody you encounter in town, whatever the case might be, there's ungodliness all around us. And we have to guard our heart and our mind. We have to seek the Lord and His blessings of strength and grace to help us each day. And that's why when Paul said, he didn't just talk about the fact that grace was brought to us, but he says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation. God's grace, we need God's grace every step of our way. We need Him every day. We need His help. We need His encouragement. We need His blessings. We need strength. We need mercy. We need the Lord every step of our way, every day. And it keeps coming. James says He giveth more grace. As a matter of fact, let's turn to that. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. James chapter 4, I'll just begin in verse 5. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Now, that's not a capital S on spirit. He's not talking about God's spirit there. He's talking about this old man that we carry around with us. All right? Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but He giveth more grace. Grace is unmerited favor. You don't deserve the grace of God. But God is so good to us. He's so generous. He loves us so much. He's so merciful and long-suffering with us. He gives us more grace. We need that grace every day. So He says, He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud. Listen up here. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. He's generous with His grace. But He says He resisteth the proud. That means if we get lifted up in pride, if we think our way is the best, if we think we don't need God's way, if we think we can make it on our own, if we think we don't need the Lord's help, we're lifted up in pride. It's those who know they're a sinner. It's those who know they need the grace of God to help them through their day. Those that know that they need to humble themselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt us in due time. Those that know that we need the help that God can provide for us for whatever the need might be. Whether it's a broken fingernail or whether it's a tragedy in our lives. The grace of God is sufficient. Isn't that what the Lord told Paul? My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. We need the Lord's help. And the more we recognize we need the Lord's help every step of our way, the better off we'll be. Not to be lifted up in pride. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace, right? Resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Oh, as we think about the Lord and what He does. So He says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to heaven. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. See, we need the grace of God every day. And so the grace of God that bringeth salvation. For these practical times, for the times of the days of our lives, He continues to supply us with the grace that we need. Now, if we're lifted up in pride, we don't have that promise, do we? Or we don't have the supply of it, but we need those fresh supplies of his grace every day. And so when we're humbly walking before our God, when we're mindful of our need of him, and when we know that he can supply all our need, and we're looking to him for the blessings and the grace that we need, God is so good to us. He's so merciful. Yes, we come short every day, but that's what grace is all about. That even though we come short, God is merciful and supplies our every need. Bless your hearts. That's what we need on a daily basis. So, while the soul and spirit is quickened, we have eternal life abiding within us. Though we have the redemption, which is in the blood of Jesus Christ that has paid for our sins, bless your hearts, we still need his help on a daily basis. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's where the warfare is. That's where the Christian battle is, the battle between the flesh and the spirit. The more we're depending upon the Lord, the more we're strong in the power of his might, not trying to do it in the power of our might, because we don't have any power. We need the power of his might. And so that Christian warfare, that's where it rages. And so when we think about the fact that the scriptures are a thorough furnisher unto all good works, that as we read the scriptures, as we understand the many ways, because this is taught to us in so many places in the scripture, of our need of the Lord, of our need of his help, so that we're not lifted up in pride, but that we're humbly walking before him. Humbly walking, humbly trusting, humbly looking to him every step of the way. And so there's plenty of scriptures that lay out for us words of caution, words of instruction to help us to remember our need of him. Remember in James chapter 1, it says, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. See, that doesn't come. Now, I understand, just like when God tested Abraham, he tempted Abraham, and that was a testing. But when James is speaking of it here, he's saying, listen, if you're being tempted to do evil, that's not the Lord. You know, the devil is at work. We've got this old man that we have to contend with. We got the world system before us all the time. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. You hear what he's saying? See what we have to guard against? This old man. All right? Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And lust, when it's conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. That's there to cause us to recognize how much we need the good influence of the Word of God, the leadership of the Holy Spirit, to be humbling ourselves before him and asking the Lord for the help that we need each day. Because if left to ourselves, you see what's going to happen. We're going to be going in the wrong direction. Sin, when it's finished, he says, bringeth forth death. That's a separation. We're not going to have the joy, the fellowship. We're not going to be praising God like we should if we go down that path. And so may God help us to continue to look to him for all that we stand in need of. I quoted earlier Acts chapter 2, verse 40, where on the day of Pentecost, Peter said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Have you experienced anything this week that caused you to remember your need of the Lord? and to be saved from this generation? You know, I'll just be honest with you. I don't even listen to the news anymore. There's other ways that I try to get some information, but as far as, you know, what I used to listen to as far as news, I don't listen to that anymore. That will drag me down to listen to things that's going on. That would drag me down. That would make me angry sometimes. Those are just all the things that the devil wants for God's people. He wants God's people to be weak. He wants God's people to be fearful. He wants God's people to be feeding on the things of this world, because when they're doing that, they're not praising God. They're not serving Him like they should. Bless your hearts, we've got all a host of reasons why we should be so thankful to the Lord every day, why we should be praising Him every day, why should we should be walking humbly before Him every day, because He's been so good to us. And He gives more grace every day for what we stand in need of. And we ought to be thanking Him for it every day, because He certainly loads us with benefits every day. Philippians chapter 2. I'll notice a few more of these verses here. Philippians chapter 2. Paul has been speaking here about how that Jesus humbled Himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But then God exalted Him. You know, He humbled Himself like no man, and God has exalted Him like no man. All right? But what I'm after is verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Well, now, wait a minute. If you were listening for the first few minutes of what we had to say, you understand salvation is secure. It is finished. Jesus accomplished that for us. Now, you knew that already, but I just wanted to remind you of it. But here, by the inspiration of the Spirit, Paul is telling the brethren at Philippi, work out your own salvation. Well, that can't be eternal, can it? It has to be that timely influence of the good things of God, the mercy of God, and the blessings of God, and the grace that He gives us each day to be a good and strengthening influence upon us that we need to be faithful to Him, to keep praising Him, to keep doing those things which are pleasing in His sight. That's how you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So the only reason that we have the knowledge that we've come short, that we sin, is because of the presence of His Spirit, because He's given us eternal life. And the only way we have the desire to praise Him or to do that which is pleasing unto Him is the same reason: His Spirit dwells in us. And so we're to work out our own salvation. That's a personal thing, isn't it? Now, we can be a good influence upon others, but we need to take heed to this ourselves before we can be a good influence to someone else. We can't ignore this for ourselves and expect to be a good influence on others. They need to see it, right? I think I heard that somewhere. They need to see it. They need to understand it's genuine. It's real. It's not just a Sunday thing when you're around godly people. It's every day we live. Every day. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it's God that worketh in you both the will to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputings. Why? That ye may be blameless and harmless in your actions, in your life. Blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Aren't we there? In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. This is going to get back to some praise here. Among whom, this crooked and perverse nation, ye shine as lights in the world. Is that us? Are we shining as lights in this world? Well, maybe not as much as we want to, but we want to shine as lights to the glory of God in this world, don't we? Yes, we do. Shine as lights. I think that's what he meant when he used that illustration of the heavens declare the glory of God. Even as Brother Thomas said, as inanimate objects, they're doing what God made them to do. They're shining. Well, guess what? He's called us out of darkness in his marvelous light that we should show forth his praises. Are we? Could we improve a little bit? Could we improve a lot of it? Should we improve? Yes. We should be growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior every day. We should be showing forth his praises because he's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know, sometimes we feel like that's a daunting task. I'm just such a sinner. Well, that's why he gives more grace. That's why he shows us mercy every day. And as long as we're confessing our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's faithful and just to forgive us because Jesus has put away our sins. And boy, this old man nature still bothers us. But bless your hearts, he giveth more grace. He's there to help us every day that we live. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 15, when he would give us this wonderful and the longest lesson and the most thorough lesson on the resurrection of any chapter in the Bible, Paul says, wherefore, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which I preached unto you, wherein you stand, by which you've received, wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved. I'm getting close to that. By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. The gospel, if we've been able to receive it, it's because he's blessed us with his Spirit. We're already born of his Spirit. If you've been blessed to receive the gospel, if you're standing on the gospel, if you're rejoicing in the gospel, bless your hearts, he says, it'll save you if you keep it in memory. We need that, don't we? On a regular basis to save ourselves from this untoward generation. Of course, we read to you from James chapter 4. He giveth more grace. I won't go back to that, but he giveth more grace. The grace of God that bringeth salvation. We know that eternal salvation, redemption by the blood of Jesus was brought to us when Jesus came to this world. But he gives more grace each day. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. That's all manner of men. That's all of them that are, as he began the book of Titus, that when he says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ according to the faith of God's elect. Those that are born of the Spirit have faith planted within them. All men. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. God continues to give us those fresh supplies of his grace every day. As we thank him, as we try to serve him as best we can, we still got this old flesh to contend with, but he gives more grace. May God help us to seek him and his loving favor each day. There's other passages, but those several passages that we just went through, if we neglect those things, if we neglect our discipleship, if we neglect the Word of God, if we neglect the fact that we sin each day and come short of his glory, let's not forget our need of the Lord each day to show forth his praises, to thank him for the grace that he gives us each day. I could go to Old Testament passages, Deuteronomy 32, 47, Moses says, it's not a vain thing for you because it is your life. Talking about it's not a vain thing. In a previous verse, he had said, it's not a vain thing for you to observe the commandments of the Lord. It's your life. It's your life. When you observe those things, bless your heart, you see, it has that good influence upon us, and we save ourselves from this untoward generation. In Acts chapter 20, Paul met with the brethren, the elders at Ephesus, and some of his parting words were, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Don't we want a place with the people of God? Don't we want a place in the house of God? Don't we want to have fellowship with God as we walk each day? Don't we want to have fellowship with God's people as we walk each day? Yes, we do. And he gives us more grace to help us to do that. But we need to remember to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. May God help us to do that, knowing all the while he gives more grace. He brings it to us every day that we need. Every day we need those fresh supplies of his grace. So may God help us to not receive it in vain, but to use it to his praise and honor and glory. May God bless you is our prayer.